This time of year, the school calendar really starts to fill up. Spring activities, testing season, and that final push toward the end of the year. It's a great moment for kids to stay focused and build confidence in what they're learning. That's where IXL comes in. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand their schoolwork, from math and reading to writing and science. It's designed for pre-K through 12th grade, with personalized interactive content that adapts to each child's level and pace. IXL makes it easy to stay on track with instant feedback and clear explanations, skills organized by grade level, and simple progress tracking. It fits into even the busiest spring schedules. It's also trusted nationwide. In fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Welcome back to Feeding the Mouth That Bites You, a weekly podcast guide on parenting teens and launching them into the world. I'm Jessica Pfeiffer, and as always, I'm joined by psychologist and author, Dr. Ken Wilgus. Hey, Dr. Ken.
Jessica, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. It's been busy around
here. Did you get through
here.
Homecoming? Is
yes.
that done yet?
Done with homecoming, done with birthdays. We're just sailing right toward Christmas now.
You have a wall of fake flowers somewhere hanging.
Yes, all the moms. Yes, it's super fun. Glad it's over. It's been really busy, and I'm kind of tired after all of that. So,
don't you wonder what our international listeners think of that when we talk about, you know, mums and homecoming, and of course homecoming. There's all kinds of homecomings, but I would wonder what our international, what image they have when we talk about these flowers and silly Texas things.
I know. Well, and you know what I would say, even people from more northern states, maybe even people outside of Texas, just don't do it the same
just
way.
Just normal people. Yeah.
Just normal people. It's pretty absurd. The amount of time and effort and money that goes into these silly mums.
Right.
And it's a lot of fun and it's a fun tradition, but it is kind of crazy.
It is a little nuts.
Glad to be past all of that. And today we're going to be discussing something I think is going to be very interesting and helpful to some parents. And even if this doesn't apply to you, I'm sure you know and have friends and family members that are going to be, could be helped by this information. So we're going to be talking about adoption and foster care.
That's right.
And raising teenagers with planned emancipation in mind.
Yep.
When they've been adopted or you're fostering them. So I'm interested in all this because I don't have personal experience with this myself and my family, but I do have friends that have experienced this, and I'm curious as to what you're going to say about all of it.
Well, as I've mentioned before, my oldest grandchild is an adopted from Colombia. So as I always say, we are manufacturing grandchildren domestically and we're importing them. We want grandchildren any way we can get them. And really, adoption and foster care is such a great ministry. And so many people really feel that call and are committed to that. And they do great things. But as you might guess, a lot of people's image of sweet adoption kind of ends after about 12. When you think of a sweet adopted kid, you think of a cute 3 or 4 year old wandering around or something. But the picture can change a bit when they turn adolescent.
Yes. Well, I think too, you know, I mean, these kids have come through difficult circumstances, you know, and whether or not you've adopted them at birth or later in life, they still have trauma and things that they have to work out. And so there's a lot that goes on there, even in the early years that I've seen friends struggle with children who have a lot of physical and developmental delays.
That's right.
And things like that. So it is a difficult job. And I am so, so grateful for people who have signed up to take this on and feel like God has called them to this or that this is a blessing to their family. It's an amazing experience for both the parent and the child.
Well, and that's really the first thing for adopted parents to consider is that not all circumstances of adoption are the same. And so mm-hmm. you really want to be aware of those differences because once adolescents reach formal operational thought, they're going to be thinking about things in a different way than they have before. So sometimes a kid is adopted because of an intentional, perhaps international adoption or something that the parents have really felt called to. And that's one story. Many times a kid is adopted because they actually live with their grandparents. And that's a different story. Almost I've seen grandparents that sort of want to just almost skip that part of the story. Let's just pretend that you're mine and your mother was never really part of the picture, that kind of thing. And then obviously foster care, where kids tend to arrive in your home older, then that story is a big part of what's going on. And so it tends to be not talked about, sort of almost like sometimes it can seem like a something we're waiting for them to bring up or whatever. But with adolescence, you know, it's important for parents to think about the goals that we have for this kid that is now in our house, but what were the circumstances of their getting here?
Okay, so would you say right off the bat, my question is, do you change your tactics with planned emancipation based on their life experience before they've arrived in your home?
Yeah, that's the main thing that it's always important, I think, for parents to know. Regardless of the circumstance, there is a slight kind of crack in the very foundation, as in you are not biologically connected to this kid like a biological parent. And that's not a bad thing, but it is a reality. So very often, depending upon the circumstance, a parent's an adopted parent's impulse is to kind of go slow. We want to really love on this kid longer. And especially if it's my grandkid, I don't want to make the mistakes I made with my kids. So I'm hovering, I'm being much more involved, that kind of thing. There's a tendency to slow a planned emancipation down. And ironically, that is, I think, exactly the opposite of what you need to do because of that slight crack in the relationship where they're not basic biologically connected in that same way. You really need to step up and be very committed to planned emancipation, really continuing to talk to this young adult about their future, about reality that we are all up in your business now, but we will not be as years go on. You will more and more have to make these choices yourself. So if it's a kid that does make poor choices, foster kids often struggle. They want to test the boundaries and all that kind of stuff. You really need to be prepared to give appropriate consequences. Foster parents, by the way, go through training like you can't believe. They have to, it's a lot. So the last thing I want to do is add to their mountain of information. So they know about disciplining adolescents and being careful with it and even-handed and so forth. And yet at the same time, you need to continue to advertise that, look, there is more and more of this that will be up to you in these next coming years. That calms, it's important for calming an adolescent adopted kid down that you're not, you know, who are you and why are you holding me down? So you really need to lean into planned emancipation even more so with adopted kids. And I think that's often not what parents expect.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And I would say too, I have a friend who adopted children in their teens. She fostered initially and then adopted several in their teens. And I know that they were already struggling with behavioral issues at
Right.
school. They were struggling with school attendance. They were, just everything. And so when you tell me, okay, instead of coming down hard on these kids, you need to actually, make sure that they know that you're going to give them freedoms. It's hard when you're watching this, right?
Right.
You kind
Yep.
of want to buckle down and give them some firm boundaries and say, you can't do this. And so explain to me how you handle that with a parent who's saying, but they're already trying to skip class. They're already,
Right.
struggling, wanting to run away. How I don't want to give them more freedom or say that they can, I mean, telling them
Right.
that they can listen to whatever music they want seems like nothing,
Well,
or
that's a good point. And that's where there's a balance of really effectively disciplining. You know, if you miss school, we already told you that there's going to be these consequences for it. Your phone will be gone or whatever. But it's really important to not draw into these control battles. You know, your friend, for example, people that foster teenagers that come to their house as adolescents, such a great ministry. And if you know people that are really good at it, they are loving, but they're not gushy. They're very consistent. I remember watching a film in college or graduate school. It's how long ago. Film is what they used to show things on. A film about this family that fostered dozens of kids. They had, you know, like 40 kids over the years. And the mom and the dad were not what you'd call precious or sweet. They were very steady, but they were on your side. They had your back. And they were very clear about this is, you know, in their house, it was like, here's where the towels go. Here's the bed you have. And here's your responsibility with your younger adopted sister. All these things that they were very consistent. But that's what love looks like. Too often, I think, inexperienced, especially in foster care, but with adoption, sometimes parents try to think of that as being what we'll have is an awkward start, but we're just going to be a fun movie family as soon as we get past this struggling beginning part. And that's not really the goal that you look for. The goal you look for is to minister to your adopted or fostered kid. And the goal, the sort of comparison point, mustn't be why is this kid not doing what I think they should have done, even if they were my own biological kid? The comparison point is, where would this kid be if I had not adopted them? And in many cases, the answer is, well, they might not be alive. And so it is, you're ministering to that adopted kid. But you can hear in what I'm saying, because I've had to tell many parents this, there's a disappointment in what I'm saying. It's like, are you saying that they're not going to ever be exactly the same as if they had been born by me? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And that's a little bit of a little disappointment. But at the same time, that's really the best way to see who this kid really is. You are part of our family by choice and by these circumstances. And you, just like your anyone else in this house, you will be in charge of yourself at the proper time. You will grow up here. You won't have to get away.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, because even with my biological children, I have these high expectations of who they're going to be and what they're going to be like and how they're going to turn out. And inevitably, I've been disappointed their choices, or by, oh, well, they don't love the things that I wanted them to love, you know, or they make the grades I wanted them to make. So even more so when they have completely different genetics, but also completely different life experiences. Maybe they've had abuse or some other sort of trauma, loss, for sure, that they're bringing into this, that it's never going to be this picture perfect in any family, but particularly when you're bringing in a lot of trauma.
And I do think counseling support can be very helpful. There are psychologists with specific training in adoption issues that I think there's a big literature on it. I know anyone listening that has adopted kids knows much of that kind of thing. So it can help with this. But part of that training is kind of explaining to embrace that reality of how this child got to your house, rather than kind of avoiding it. You know, one thing that sometimes happens, not infrequently, is that you have this kid that we adopted very young, and he never mentioned anything about his biological family until 13 or 15. And all of a sudden he's saying things like, you know, I want to find my mother and stuff. And that can be hurtful to parents, even parents who know better, like, hey, that's good. It's still, you can build this sense of, yes, but I am your really the only parent you need to know about. Again, it's not at all a taking down of who you are as a parent. It's part of this teenager's needed young adult sense of identity. Who am I? And mm-hmm. You are loved here. You are welcome here. And no, you are not our biology. That is true. So, you know, so it's both a realistic and a kind of firm, loving stance that still says, and this is the point of what we're talking about, that still says, I am in your life and a part of things and controlling some things you don't like, but not for long. We are on our way out. And again, it can seem almost by impulse kind of hard to say those things, because I want to keep reassuring you that you're loved here. Well, teenagers aren't primarily concerned about whether I'm loved. They're really primarily concerned about, am I going to be respected and using my own judgment?
Yes. So if you have both biological children and adopted children, do you give them the same framework and standards? Oh, at 13, we do this, at 15, we do that, and at 17, you get this? Or do you change it based on their experiences, their personalities? How do you handle that with?
See, I think that's a great question. And I can tell you right now, I think if you asked other psychologists, you'd get different answers than I give. My answer to that is I think you try to line up the freedoms as best you can, rather than, because I've heard psychologists say, well, each child is different and you treat them differently. I think that's kind of true up until 13. But at that point, when you start adding the planned emancipation program, if you will, that is sort of like building up their life to the speed where they can merge onto the highway of life. So that point where they will need to be ready for that is the same for a foster, adopted, or biological kid. And so the difference would be you might have a 17-year-old senior foster kid that was, again, skipping school. Instead of, you know, kind of like, you know what, we're going to pull you back and you're going to just stay home for the next 6 months or whatever. You really cannot do that. Instead, you really have to talk to them about, and hopefully you have a reasonable communication, because you're saying, you know, you're grounded again because you missed school, but you know, we can't do this for very much longer. This is going to be up to you and your school. At this point, you know, those kind of things is a message that, again, may sound unloving, but you really can't effectively slow down that clock. That comes up a lot. I was talking to a group of parents last night and that came up. Aren't there exceptions when, you know, there have this or that special needs? The only real exception to that is someone who is truly intellectually delayed, that they really cannot function as an adult, or an actual sort of psychotic illness where the basically where someone in the community would agree with you that, yeah, that person can't be held, can't be given independence. If you don't have the backing of the community, you can't call the police on a 19-year-old that has not been home, got home late. No one cares. It's up to that young adult now, and it has to be. So the answer to that is no. I think you try to line things up as best you can based on their age and the need for independence, because you have to practice making your own choices and always signaling we're getting weaker and weaker as an influence in your life.
I liked the phrase that you used about merging onto the highway of adulthood. And I think that's a lot of what we are doing as parents, is trying to get our kids to the point, helping them to mature and giving them the freedom to make the decision, so that when they're merging, it's an easy merge, you know, and it's not this terrible disaster where they're stopping and, you know, right on the access road and the rest of the cars are flying by. That's the worst. I've been with a young driver who did that. It's terrifying, you know?
Yeah. And if I'm going to beat that analogy to death, you also, if you don't merge, the cars behind you run the risk of smacking into you. So your younger siblings watch this mess and think, I'm never going to get anywhere. And you can't explain to them, no, you'll be way different. But this is your sister that we're dealing with. It doesn't work like that. You ever try to tell a 16-year-old girl that, no, you're not going to be allowed to date yet, even though your brother was allowed to date at 16. Good luck with that. See how that goes. Mm-hmm. But you're different. You're that is not, you know, instead, you know, giving the signal that, look, I think I told you this. I told my kids at 16, it's now up to you if you want to date or not. And I said, and I don't recommend it. I just think high school dating is a mess, but it's up to you. And as you might guess, they did not take my advice, but we did talk a lot about the choices they were making and so forth. So, but trying to say you can at this age, but you can't at this age is an unintended criticism. It's you know, you are not actually old enough. You really aren't at the age, and they will prove you wrong. Yes, I am. Watch. Mm-hmm. I will do this and you can't make me not do this. That's the thing you want to avoid.
Yes, that power struggle over it.
And
Well, I think
adopted
you're.
kids have that gut sense of, wait a minute, who are you to be telling me this? That's kind of just in there.
Well, I think for all kids, it just makes them, you know, knowing ahead that, okay, and when I'm 15, I get this, you
Right.
know, given to me, and at 17, I get that. I mean, the younger kids are definitely looking forward to that and excited about having that, you know, and it gives them a sense of, you know, well, I can wait it out for another year because when I'm 15, I get to do
that's
that.
exactly right. Yeah.
So,
it's not a no, it's a not yet.
Right. Well, thank you, Dr. Ken. This has been a very good topic. And I know that all of us have in some way been touched by adoption and foster care. And I love that we can encourage our friends. If it's not us with the adopted or foster kids in our house, we can encourage our friends and family in these areas and encourage them to listen to this podcast. This is
a
great,
tremendous ministry.
Yeah, it really is. Thank you, Dr. Ken.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening today. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach us at podcast@feedingthemouth.com. If you enjoy this podcast, would you mind leaving us a review? This is how others find our podcast.
This time of year, the school calendar really starts to fill up. Spring activities, testing season, and that final push toward the end of the year. It's a great moment for kids to stay focused and build confidence in what they're learning. That's where IXL comes in. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand their schoolwork, from math and reading to writing and science. It's designed for pre-K through 12th grade, with personalized interactive content that adapts to each child's level and pace. IXL makes it easy to stay on track with instant feedback and clear explanations, skills organized by grade level, and simple progress tracking. It fits into even the busiest spring schedules. It's also trusted nationwide. In fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.